very important issue that we're starting off with. The time has come for politicians to show leadership on dealing with Northern Ireland's troubled past. That's the blunt message from the former PSNI Chief Constable, Sir Hugh Orde. There's actually a deal on the table on tackling the past in Northern Ireland and what are called legacy issues. And what we're going to do is we're going to step through it today so that we all understand it and we all try to understand what the stalemate now is. It's been held up by a stalemate between Sinn Féin and the British government over national security issues. We'll look at that in a second. Here's some of what Sir Hugh Orde said on The View on BBC One last night.
Well, I was naive enough to believe early in 2003, having just taken over, that there would be a determined effort by politicians to deal with this very difficult and challenging issue. And sadly, of course, that still has not happened. At the moment, we are not seeing, or I'm certainly not seeing now as an independent or casual observer of the issue, any real determined leadership from across the political spectrum to make something happen before, tragically, the next generation will all be dying without understanding better what went on to their loved ones during the Troubles. One thing I learnt in Northern Ireland is there is no such thing as good timing. If something happens, you have to deal with it. You cannot wait. I think dealing with the Troubles absolutely fits that category. It cannot wait any longer. And the reason for that is not some legal process or some legal intervention. It's because the families who want to know what happened are getting older by the day.
That's Sir Hugh Orde. Sinn Féin's Declan Kearney is with us this morning. Declan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. And the DP's Geoffrey Donaldson. Good morning to you, Geoffrey.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Geoffrey, I'm sure a lot of people listening won't really have got their heads around what exactly the stalemate is about. Set it out for us.
Well, Stephen, we have the Stormont House Agreement. And let me be clear for your listeners, the DUP stands by that agreement. We want it implemented. We are prepared to go with it. But there is a standoff at the moment between Sinn Féin and the government on the issue of disclosure. The government are saying that there are certain elements of that affect national security that if they are the subject of an investigation, cannot be fully disclosed because it would affect the way in which the security forces operate today. And bear in mind, Stephen, we have an ongoing terrorist threat. The security forces have to deal with that threat. That means they have to operate sometimes covertly. And to reveal how they operate in the public domain would totally compromise their ability to defeat the terrorist threat that we face today.
How does that, Declan Kearney, not make sense?
In what respect?
Well, in the respect of the British government not wanting to release some information for the interests of national security.
In our view, the notion of national security has been introduced as a smokescreen. The context is that, as Geoffrey said, we had cross-party and cross-governmental agreement in relation to how we should deal with the past by settling on the mechanisms that we would use for dealing with information disclosure, for achieving truth for families and for victims, and to put in place a framework which would allow us to actually ensure that the past no longer cast a shadow over the present. And we successfully achieved that in December 2014. When we got into negotiations during 2015, last year, in relation to the legislative framework that would give effect to the mechanisms, the British government reneged on its commitment, along with everyone else, to commit to full information disclosure.
But do you not think, Declan, do you not think the British government should, if it is in the interests of national security, in other words, our security around the world, do you not think they should withhold that information?
In the first instance, I don't think that there's any comparison to be drawn between the wider issues of integrity of British state or any other state's national security in a geopolitical context with what happened 20, 30, 40 years ago in this society as a result of the actions of British state forces. I don't think that there can be a reasonable comparison drawn out. But to deal with this particular blockage and the impasse that has been created, because bear in mind, there was huge disappointment right across the entire community among the Republican and the unionist sections of our community when this agreement was brought forward under the aegis of the Fresh Start, absent agreement in relation to information disclosure. And what we need to do is remedy that and ensure that failure is not accepted as an option. So Sinn Féin, in fact, has brought forward two options which would assist the British government and all of us in getting around this particular bind. And we've proposed, and there has been no cogent or reasonable explanation offered by the British Secretary of State or the British government as to why these are not reasonable propositions. We've suggested that the full discretion for the Historic Investigations Unit Director with regard to the onward flow of information to families ought to be similar to that of the Police Ombudsman. That's one option. There's a second option, that we could in fact create an independent and an international appeals panel which could be appointed by the British government, by the Irish government, and a third appointee of international standing appointed jointly by both governments in order to adjudicate on issues relating to forward disclosure of information to families that the British government may have difficulties around.
Now, so what's wrong with that, Geoffrey Donaldson?
Let me finish on this point because this is really important, Stephen. We have also set out three principles that could underpin either or both of those options as a way around this impasse. And the first is, in terms of Article 2 compliance, that national security shouldn't be used as a reason to withhold information when it relates to the commission of a criminal offence. And the other two principles that we have advised on are that information should be disclosed to the maximum extent that its disclosure, and this is very important, does not endanger the life of any person. And lastly, that information should be disclosed to the maximum extent that its disclosure does not damage the effectiveness of methods or tactics that the British government may seek to use.
So, Geoffrey Donaldson, what's wrong with that?
Security.
Well, we will obviously look at whatever Sinn Féin are proposing and we will talk to the government. We do want to see this issue resolved.
Presumably you've looked at it by now. What's wrong with that?
No, we haven't, Stephen, with respect. What Declan has described, he's never presented to me. And when he does, I look at it.
Declan Kearney, you've never presented this to the DUP. Meanwhile, victims families are waiting.
Geoffrey and I were interviewed some few weeks ago on your programme and I outlined the same information on the airwaves to death, Geoffrey, at that stage. But the DUP is quite familiar with the proposals we've brought forward because those proposals are not just from Sinn Féin. They're as a result of extensive consultation across the...
Has this been written down and presented to the DUP and indeed the Secretary of State?
This has been written up, it's been presented, it's been published and it has been shared.
So what's going on, Geoffrey Donaldson? You say you haven't heard of it. They say they've written it down. And sent it to you.
Stephen, I can only tell you what the position I'm in. I have not seen these proposals. I'm happy to look at them. I'm happy to discuss them.
Do they sound sensible?
And to see, Stephen, I need to see the detail of it. And I'm not going to make snap judgments based on what Declan has said on the airwaves. I will take time. We will need to talk to the government. We'll need to have our legal people look at this to make sure that it covers all the bases. Of course we'll look at this. We want to see this issue resolved. We want to see things moving forward.
Here's what I want to get into, Geoffrey. Even if you do get past that impasse, is this deal worth anything to victims anyway? So let's look, for example, at the victims of paramilitaries. I wonder with this deal that you may all have agreed on as part of the Stormont House Agreement, if you can get it past what we've just discussed, is it in any way a good deal for victims of paramilitary? So let me just think this through. A victim of the IRA, for example, are they seriously going to expect the IRA to say, now hold on, John Doe, yes, we killed him. Let me just look up the file. Oh, right, there's his name. Let me just look up the details. By the way, this is the IRA that Sinn Féin say do not exist anymore. Did the IRA keep files? Did they keep documents, Declan Kearney? Have they got all the details? And are they going to disclose all of that to a victim's family?
So are you asking me or Declan Kearney?
Well, let me ask Declan Kearney first, then you, Geoffrey. Declan?
Sinn Féin approaches this issue completely in good faith. And we have said repeatedly that we will support and participate with any mechanism that is established in order to ensure that there is maximum information disclosure, in order that we can move beyond this impasse to ensure that the past is finally dealt with in our society and that we can open up a whole new process, a whole new phase within our peace process in order to start to come to terms with how we build reconciliation.
Fair enough. So you'll work in good faith. But do the IRA, have the IRA kept documents? Have they kept files? Have they kept notes?
I've no idea.
And well, so therefore, what's a victim going to get?
To even ask that question, Stephen, as a distraction from where this issue needs to be addressed. Here's the point.
The point is you can't tell me what disclosure there's going to be from the IRA.
If you let me speak, then I'll make my point. Sinn Féin brought forward proposals some years ago in the mid-2000s in relation to the establishment of an international independent truth recovery process and commission.
That's not part of the deal.
We think that is the optimal way to deal with this issue.
That's not happening. That's not part of the deal. You're going outside the deal now.
Just let me speak. We have set that position aside and compromised on it in order to agree with the mechanisms that now command cross-party support under the terms of the Stormont House Agreement. We've gone further and compromised in relation to what we think would be a viable way to deal with this.
But you're not telling me if the likes of the IRA kept records, so therefore are you expecting the British government to disclose much more information than people like the IRA are going to disclose? And how they're going to disclose it if they don't exist is another conundrum.
Well, first of all, in excess of 20,000 Republicans have gone through the judicial system in the six counties over the course of the last 40 years and served time for offences upon which they were convicted. I could count on the fingers of two hands the number of members of British state forces who have been put through due process, been convicted and served time. Now, that's to set that point to the side. To get back to dealing with the past, if you look to how the issue of dealing with the recovery of the remains of those who were disappeared, you will find, and Jeff Knopfler, who's the director of the commission, has said that in his opinion, Republicans contributed to and assisted 100% with the effectiveness and the success of that particular process.
Jeffrey Donaldson, Declan, I need to bring Jeffrey in. One second. Jeffrey Donaldson, Jeffrey, what are the chances of full disclosure for victims of paramilitaries, by the way, including the UVF, UDA?
None, Stephen. I have no, and I've said this to you before, I'll repeat it again. I have no or a very low expectation that the paramilitary organisations will disclose detailed information to innocent victims. And that is why, Stephen, a big part of this process is about the investigation of the unsolved murders by an independent unit that will be established with full police powers to investigate all of the unsolved murders.
Now, but if there is no chance of full disclosure for the victims of paramilitaries, Jeffrey Donaldson, what does that say about this great deal you've done?
Well, Stephen, I have never, and I mean, if I have to keep repeating in your programme, I will. I don't know how many times I've said it. Maybe tomorrow when you've got some spare time, listen to all the times I've said it on your programme. You keep needing to ask me this. And you keep focusing, by the way, Stephen, on one element of the deal, and you have an obsession with it. With respect, you know, I'd love to have time to sit down with you, Stephen, and go through the whole deal in its entirety. And a huge part of the deal that you are blind to, which is the Historical Investigations Unit, you never talk about that.
Well, the Historical Investigations Unit, you're talking about people.
I'm going to talk because you know what? The innocent victims out there deserve to know about this, Stephen. And you may not want them to know about it, but I do. So let me talk about it for a moment, please. The Historical Investigations Unit is not about disclosure, it's about investigation. It is about giving an independent body full police powers to investigate the unsolved murders so that, at the very least, the innocent victims have the opportunity to pursue justice. And I have been honest with people. I have said the reason why we oppose this so-called Truth Commission is because it would have meant there had to be an amnesty, that victims would not have had access to justice. And there are three principles that guide us in our approach to dealing with the past. One, there will be no amnesty. Victims must have the opportunity to pursue justice, and they will under this arrangement through the Historical Investigations Unit. Secondly, there must be no rewriting of the history of the Troubles. And that's what a Truth Commission would be about, because the paramilitaries will not disclose what they did. The state will be put in the dock, and it will all be the focus on 10%. And the 90% of the murders that were committed by the paramilitaries, we will not get full disclosure, as we didn't get at Savile, as we didn't get with the Smithwick inquiry. So it will be with this team.
But, Geoffrey, is this not giving false hope to victims? They may have their day in court, but what you're not saying out loud is that the chances of criminal prosecution in most cases will likely to be remote. The evidence may have gone, witnesses may have died. The chances of these victims' families getting their day in court and getting justice at the same time is remote. Can you not say that out loud?
Stephen, again, replay the last interview I did with you, and we went into this in some detail, and I remember it crystal clear. And I said on your programme, many of the deaths that we are dealing with occurred back in the early 1970s. There was a huge spike between 1970 and 1974. You look at the number of deaths that occurred in those years, they account for a very large proportion of the murders committed during the Troubles. Now, since then, many of the perpetrators have died or been killed. Witnesses have gone. Getting the evidence is extremely difficult. But, Stephen, I have to offer, and this deal has to offer those victims the opportunity that at least the cases will be reviewed, re-examined, and every effort will be made using modern techniques that weren't available perhaps when these deaths occurred, forensic techniques, DNA techniques, holding out the possibility. And it's nothing more than that, Stephen, and you're right. The one thing I will not do is create false expectations for people. That would be another injustice piled on top of the ones they've already suffered. I am realistic about this, but what victims say to me, Stephen, and I talk to a lot of them, and many of them from that period of time, they say, we want the opportunity, Geoffrey. We want to be able to do what is the right thing by our loved one. We want to be able to know that at least we tried, at least the effort was made, at least we pursued justice as far as we could.
False hope. False hope is maybe more painful than no hope at all, Geoffrey. False hope of justice. If you look even at this independent information retrieval process, there won't be a full truth commission. This is the deal, is it? There won't be public confessions by individuals. Names of killers will not be released to families.
Because, Stephen, to do so requires granting an amnesty. And the victims said to us, and we agree with them, by the way, we're not prepared to go down the road of amnesty. So that's why we opposed it, Stephen, and will continue to oppose an amnesty. And the victims said if the price for getting the name of the victim, or sorry, the name of the killer, if the price for finding out who killed my loved one is that I have to forgo justice, that's a price that's too high for me.
Let me ask you both before you both go. I know you need to go. Declan Kearney, you first. Chief Constable George Hamilton has said the cost of steak knife investigation could be $35 million. That's a lot of money, no matter who picks up the bill. And many people, Declan Kearney, might say that that money would be better spent on health or offsetting benefit cuts. Do you not agree?
I think what the Chief Constable needs to do is ensure that he is properly resourced in order to take forward his responsibilities in relation to dealing with this issue.
It's £35 million. The money needs to come from somewhere.
And we need to ensure that these mechanisms are activated, that they're put into operation, and that we ensure that what many, and perhaps even yourself, Stephen, over the years, would have accused politicians of never having the ability to do, is to get us to a point where we now have a framework and mechanisms that can, in fact, deal systematically with the legacy of our past.
No matter what now, the cost is, £35 million in one investigation, that's money well spent, Declan, is it?
Let me focus on this point. That's a very important thing that we need to do, because for as long as we live with the legacy of our past unresolved, then it continues to hold back our present and our future. Now, I've listened to the conversation you've had with Geoffrey. In fairness to Geoffrey and this discussion, it is a rehearsal of what we've done before. What's missing in this discussion, Stephen, is the response of the British government to the options and the principles that I outlined at the top of the show. Geoffrey shouldn't allow himself to become a proxy speaking on behalf of Theresa Villiers and the British government. The British government speak for itself. And let me finish on this point. The British government made a commitment to information disclosure along with everybody else involved in these negotiations. When we got to the point of drafting legislation, something changed. Something changed that forced the British government to change its position and politically renege from that commitment.
And what is the IRA's commitment to disclosure?
And what I'm saying to you is this, is that the dead hand of the Ministry of Defence and British security agencies began to interfere with the political process at the level of the British government on this issue, and that's why the British government position changed. So I'm calling out Theresa Villiers, I'm calling out the British government, and I'm calling out the MOD and their security agencies to come on this programme, debate with me, and defend the indefensible.
Well, Theresa Villiers, just so we can make this clear, Theresa Villiers, the Secretary of State, has been asked once again to come on this programme this morning and speak to you and speak to Geoffrey. And once again, she is refusing to come on this programme and speak to the people of Northern Ireland through this programme. I would say this to you, Theresa Villiers. Every single time that your Dairy Secretary says you're too busy to speak to the people of Northern Ireland through this programme, we will remind you that you're serving the people of Northern Ireland, many of whom listen to this programme, engage in politics through this programme. So it's a real pity that you are not prepared to undo your very busy diary, which seems to be busy every single time the Nolan Show asks for you. I don't know why that might be, but it's very, very interesting. Geoffrey Donaldson, the £35 million that the Chief Constable has pointed out, steak knife, is going to cost. Can you not see how that money might be better spent elsewhere?
Of course, Stephen. And you will always find other ways of spending money, that's for sure. We are that money should not come out of the Chief Constable's budget. It should come from the money that was set aside by the government. And I raised this at Northern Ireland Questions a couple of weeks ago in the House of Commons. The Secretary of State said she would look at that. There is money set aside for dealing with the past. It's in the central government budget, and we believe that money should now be released to take the pressure off the PSNI's budget. I suppose the question, Stephen, that many victims will ask is, what price do you put on justice? And that is the challenge for us. I wish that we didn't have to go through these expensive inquiries. It's other people calling for the inquiries. What I want is this historical investigations unit set up so that all of the innocent victims have access to the prospect of pursuing justice and not just a few.
Geoffrey Donaldson, Declan Kearney, thank you very much indeed. The number this morning, 0330 80 55 55. Peter's on the line. Morning, Peter.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, very quickly, Peter.
I just wanted to ask Declan there. He seems to think that the victims of paramilitary violence are sidelined to this whole issue. They're definitely not a sideline to my family, and I would like all information or none.
And do you think you're going to get information? All
no,
the information.
I don't think anybody that's been involved in IRA or loyalist paramilitary violence.
What happened within your family, Peter?
My brother-in-law was shot dead by Monday. Two guys walked into his place of work and shot an 18-year-old man. He was a REC reserve. And
did any organisation claim responsibility?
The IRA claimed responsibility, and the historical inquiries team have told us that it was the IRA, but they don't have evidence to indicate who it was.
And while Sinn Féin are asking for the British government to open up their vaults, have full disclosure, do you think the IRA will do the same?
No, I don't think they will, because Martin McGuinness had the opportunity at the Bloody Sunday inquiry, and he didn't.
What are your feelings in your gut about this?
Personally, it's I think it's too late for our family. My mother and father-in-law died subsequently, never getting justice. And my feeling is that if we can't move on and maybe forget all these inquiries that are costing millions, maybe we're never going to be able to move on.
Geoffrey Donaldson has just told us on this show there's no chance of full disclosure from the paramilitaries.
Well, I agree with him.
What do you say to the politicians this morning?
I would say to them, let's get on working with this country and proper bread and butter issues. We've had to forget and somewhat forgive what has happened to our family, and I think a lot more families should have to do that.
There are other victims' families who want their day in court, though, Peter.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen.
Peter, thank you. Stephen in Antrim. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Well, I've got bad news for Peter and for anyone else that believes that this convenient access between the DUP and Sinn Féin is going to deliver anything for victims. You cannot erase and rewrite the past. And I think that it does a disservice to our so-called political system to have people on the BBC on a constant basis trying to sell this conveniently again prior to an election.
Well, the DUP say that they will stop people rewriting the past.
Well, you know, Geoffrey Donaldson had an opportunity to interrogate Declan Kearney while he was on air, and he chose not to do it. I think that it's very clear. We're not going to get truth out of people who basically have no real concept of the truth.
And so what are you saying? That. Draw a line?
Well, I think it has to be left to the individuals because those who want, if you like, identification of murderers, identification of the people who committed the atrocities, that is not going to result in prosecution. It won't result in a justice. For those who don't, people like myself and others, I want no part of this because I'm not going to leave it to others like Geoffrey Donaldson or Declan Kearney to decide my version of the truth. And it's my version. No one can change that.
I'm still asking the question of all the politicians this morning, even if the British government did provide full disclosure, I still have not had a clear answer as to what records, if any, the paramilitaries kept. Like, well, do we really suspect that there's a filing cabinet somewhere with every person who they killed? And by the way, I'm talking about the IRA, UVF, UDA, INLA here, and that they're going to hand those files over or they're going to open them up and say, right, listen, we've got every detail here. There you go. But that is what's being asked of the British government, isn't it?
That's correct. And if you can make the call. You've just done it in a sense. Ask the people who have perpetrated the crimes to volunteer to the Nolan Show their record of what they've done. Get them to fess up, to confess. It won't happen, Stephen. That's why this whole exercise is a distraction away from the fact that we've got a failed political system here. You know, talking at length about this is a complete and utter waste of our time and, more importantly, the British taxpayers' money.